This is our legal expert, Jeff O'Brien. He's a well-recognized attorney from Lohmann Abdo in such areas as business law, commercial contract disputes, intellectual property, and more. He also knows his sports and can lend his expertise when there are legal issues at play. This is Dave Harrigan, a well-recognized producer and update host from the Mackey and Judd Show. He's not really an expert in anything, but here he is to introduce the topics to Jeff and then nod in agreement every time Mr. O'Brien makes a great point. Welcome to Case in Point with Jeff O'Brien. Here's Dave Harrigan.
All right, and I will introduce the topic today. Thanks for checking out another Case in Point podcast. I am Dave. That is Jeff O'Brien over across from me here from Lohmann Abdo. And the topic today, Jeff, interesting. I didn't know, as you just explained it to me before we started recording, I didn't know anything like this could run so deep. The Personal Rights in Names Can Endure Act. Otherwise known as the Prince Act, that was just in the Minnesota legislature, did not pass in this most recent session, but could be revisited, and we're talking about privacy, personal privacy. Get into a little bit just what this is all about, because it is deep.
Well, Dave, yeah, we're talking about this because of the Prince Act, and I think when we first started talking about, a week or so ago about doing this topic, I think within hours of us saying, let's do it, was when the Minnesota Senate, killed the Prince Act in a committee hearing.
Prince, obviously, named for Prince.
Exactly, yeah. yes, introduced by the state representative from Chanhassen, where Prince was from, and the idea, and what we're dealing with and talking about here is called rights of publicity. Now, rights of publicity falls into that intellectual property category, and it's a little bit more of a grayer area than, say, copyright, trademarks, patents. It affects primarily celebrities, entertainers, athletes, which is why we're talking about it here on Case in Point. And there were some various entertainers and athletes that came out in support of the Prince Act, including one of my clients and someone that everybody that around here knows, which is Carl Eller, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Purple People Eater.
We'll talk
about that in a little bit, about some of the issues that we've had to deal with on his behalf with that name, because the rights of publicity falls square into our challenge of sometimes protecting goods out there under that Purple People Eater's name. But what the right of publicity is, Dave, it's the right to control the commercial exploitation of a person's name, image, or persona. So you can't go out and put a celebrity's image on an advertisement and suggest that person is endorsing a product, okay? You have to get their permission to use their likeness. And we're talking about the Prince Act. The Prince Act was going to extend rights of publicity to a person's heirs so that the trustee of the executor of Prince's estate could take steps, or his surviving heirs could take steps to prevent others from exploiting his likeness for commercial gain. And if anybody knows much about Prince, he was very vigorous and diligent during his lifetime of policing particularly the internet in terms of any unauthorized use of his image or likeness. You go on YouTube, for example, a day before he passed, there was little to nothing out there showing any kind of performances from Prince. In the hours following his passing, it just blew up.
Anyone who'd ever been to a Prince show put it up there.
You go on YouTube now, and you can find all sorts of videos and things like that that he would have, during his lifetime, he would have police. So that's what the Prince Act is designed to do, is to assist the heirs to kind of put the genie back in the bottle, so to speak. And like I said, Mr. Eller was one of those other celebrities in town from the sports world that was very much in favor of it. And we talked about before we went on the air about some of the battles that we've had to fight on his behalf and on the Purple People Eater's behalf. Just recently, as a year ago, if you'd walk through a Target store and there was a T-shirt sitting in the Vikings area, purple T-shirt that said "Purple People Eaters, officially licensed product, NFL Players Association."
Okay.
Now maybe that was the case that there was that whoever made the T-shirt was granted some sort of permission from the NFLPA. But when I asked Carl, did you get paid anything for this? No. And so, and there was a, you know, there was a lawsuit that was just settled in the last few years regarding the retired players against NFL Films. And, you know, because NFL Films, of course, has shot thousands of hours of footage, video footage of games and everything else. And the players, the retired players had said, you're violating our rights of publicity. That's our image. That's our likeness. That's us in those videos. You have to give us something, you know. And so, again, it's one of those kind of amorphous gray areas. But, you know, and it does have implications for you and I. It's, you don't necessarily have to be a celebrity to have rights of publicity. It just has to have something about you that's identifiable that you have the right to prevent from being used and exploited for someone else's commercial purposes.
Okay. When you go back to a player like Eller, you know, that was a different era. I can't imagine players, you know, you look at a player that's coming into the league today. Obviously, there's video games that are around that weren't around back in the day. There's, you know, you can put a, you know, whoever it is, name your current Viking, Teddy Bridgewater. You can slap him on a lunchbox, slap him on a pack of gummy bears, whatever it is. I imagine when you sign up with the Players Association now, you know, there has to be, you're probably signing some sort of documents that say, hey, you can use my likeness for whatever, and that covers everything. Whereas I bet you Eller back in the day, it probably wasn't the same. Would I be right?
You know, we've talked about this. I've talked to others about this. You know, a lot of these guys that played in the 60s and 70s in the NFL, in my opinion, the glory days of the NFL, the emphasis wasn't so much on the business of the NFL.
Signed up to play football.
Yeah, exactly. And so I represent a lot of retired players, and Carl's not the only one, where you feel like you're playing catch up. You're trying to nail Jell-O to the wall, trying to get the genie back in the bottle, and you protect your client's rights and, you know, make sure that they are getting properly compensated for others using their image and likeness, you know, and exploiting that. Today's players, I think, it is more of a business focus. You see players with all the product endorsements and things like that. And I think that today's players are more likely, I think people are maybe less likely to try to pass off a current player's image and likeness, suggesting that they, you know, are endorsing a certain product or service without their permission. Because in this day and age, you're almost certain to draw a cease and desist from that athlete's lawyer telling him, you don't have permission, stop. And I think that wasn't the case 30, 40, 50 years ago. It was more of a game, less of a business. And now we're you know, the challenge for attorneys like myself who represent retired guys is to give those guys the same rights and protections that current players avail themselves of today.
So how do you go about the process then? You see, you know, Carl Eller sees that purple People Eaters t-shirt at Target, and he says, hey, I didn't sign off on this. You know, I'm a purple People Eater. No one approached me. So how do you, as the attorney, go about, you know, finding out who made the t-shirt and getting your guy a little something for it?
You do what you can in terms of finding out, the source of a product. And, you know, like I said, you end up sending him out a nasty little cease and desist letter and citing what the law is on rights of publicity. And like I said, during someone's lifetime, it's, you know, you certainly have strong claims. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about, where it starts to get murkier, is when you're dealing with a player who's deceased and you're, you know, doing this on behalf of their family. And you just simply demand that the person, number one, stop selling the product. Number two, stop using the advertising that implies that, or if it's a product that they're just using the image and likeness to advertise, stop using the advertising to sell the product. And this is the important one, Dave. Number three, you demand an accounting of what they've made on selling the product, and you're going to ask that those profits be disgorged and paid to your client as a violation of their rights of publicity. So it's not a joking matter if someone goes ahead and violates those rights. There's money in this if someone is wronged.
And do the publicity rights, are they vary state to state, or is it pretty much, you know, across the board,
50
states?
It's very much common law. Like I said, it's not as well codified as trademark, copyright, patent, which is federal law. So it does vary state to state in terms of common law. Some states have gone further and have actually passed a statute which lays out what the rights of publicity are. Okay, Minnesota does not have that at this time. The Prince Act would have been the first statement from the Minnesota legislature on rights of publicity, and so as a result of it not passing, we're still simply relying on any common law, you know, case law that's out there, governing rights of publicity, as opposed to being able to go, if I'm looking at a contract and I want to know what the statute of fraud says in terms of is it valid or not, I can go to a statute and say, well, it falls under this category, under such and such statute, this is invalid, right? You don't have that in Minnesota right now with rights of publicity. You're simply going on, well, this is what was held in such and such case or such and such case, and you have to kind of go by that. So it would have been helpful to have some guidance from the legislature to protect folks and protect what is a revenue source for them.
Yeah. Well, then let's get into why didn't it happen then? I mean, why would the legislature balk at what seems to make sense? You can't make money off somebody who just passed away. You have to protect the family, their heirs, the fortune that Prince made, protect it and make sure that's, something that the family can have access to. Why wouldn't it be passed? What other concerns that we don't see immediately?
I think there's two questions. Number one is, why didn't it pass at this time? And I think some of the issues there are just a practical matter, right? You're looking at this happened on April 21st. Session just ended this past week. So you're talking about in an election year, which the legislature is notorious in an election year for doing next to nothing, right?
As we saw.
Exactly. So you're fighting an uphill battle trying to get significant legislation like this, and it was significant, through in the waning days, the waning weeks of session. I mean, the practical matter is, a lot of legislation gets introduced in committees very early on when the session begins in February. So to come in April and expect and be able to fast track a bill through the House committee, get a House floor vote, Senate committee, get a Senate floor vote, conference committee, back to the Senate House floor to pass it. Very difficult to do. The House put it through pretty quickly. It did, but as sometimes happen, things stall out in the Senate. And vice versa. Sometimes things go through in the Senate, stalls out in the House. That's just the nature of the way the legislature works. So perhaps I think there was some concerns in terms of how quickly it was being pushed through, and some lawmakers and some commentators on the outside had some concerns with how quickly this was being rushed through the legislature without having additional debate on the merits, the pros and cons of this. Some of the folks in the second vein, the bigger issue of allowing heirs to control these rights, for generations. I think there are some more of the freedom of contract people, more of a libertarian ethos of what would give you the right to. I understand that might be personal to that individual, but why should their heirs have the right to basically make money off? Why would they have the ability to exploit that image and likeness for generations to come once that person is deceased? So I wouldn't be surprised if it may not be called the Prince Act, maybe called something else next session, but I wouldn't be surprised if this issue comes up again. Other states have done this. Tennessee has something similar because that's where Elvis is hails from.
That would make sense.
California has something like that. Marilyn Monroe.
And a lot of other people.
Yep. Texas, Buddy Holly. Mm-hmm. So other states have passed this, a similar legislation, to protect their hometown celebrities. And I think that this was it just happened to be. I mean, this arguably Prince was one of the biggest, if not the biggest celebrity to hail from Minnesota, certainly the most, the biggest celebrity at the time living, at the time of his death. And so I think that was the impetus to finally put something on the books that had not been there before, given that we now were faced with a celebrity and an estate as significant as some of these others that have, where this has gone through before in other state legislatures.
And so is it as easy to say, well, Prince passed away, the law didn't make it through legislation, so therefore anyone, it's, you know, it's the Wild West out there right now for Prince stuff?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, when you're dealing with an artist like that with music performances, you have video out there that someone may have shot on their own phone or something at some point, but it is copyrighted material that's being performed, mm-hmm. right? So it's not necessary. It, to me, it's a bigger issue for the athletes than the entertainers.
Yeah.
At least in the regards to, you know, to issues such as video and things like that. You know, we talked off air beforehand. I got a T-shirt just in the, you know, a few days after Prince had passed. It was a gift from my dogs for my birthday. It was a T-shirt from a dog T-shirt website, and it said "When Dogs Cry," and had a dog dressed up like Prince from the Purple Rain era.
There's so many things wrong with that.
And I'm
so your dogs gave you
yes,
a birthday
they did.
Present.
They
is
did.
Is this a T-shirt for you or for your dogs?
For me. So
oh boy, have you worn it?
Yeah. They, huh?
Have you actually worn it?
I
yet?
Actually wore it to dog training last night. But and as I stopped and I opened it up and I'm thinking to myself, this is exactly what we're talking about. So I use that as an example of someone was, you know, someone made money off of it. And or at this point, I mean, at this point, there's nothing illegal about what they did. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's
take
suggesting
off on a Prince
it's
song,
take off.
But yeah,
exactly. You know, but. So yeah, in a ways, it's a little bit of Wild West right now. It's been Wild West, of course, with the athletes for a long time. But there is a right way to do it too. We talked about before off air. Another client of mine, retired Viking client of mine, Tommy Kramer.
Yeah, tell
right?
me about that one again.
Okay, so a friend wanted to sell a Tommy Kramer. Hooded sweatshirt.
Okay.
Okay. He went to Tommy. He got his permission. If you go on eBay, you can find it. It's purple. It has his number and his name on it. And Tommy has a very distinctive signature. Anybody that's seen it knows that. And it has the autograph stitched into the sweatshirt.
Okay.
Okay? Tommy gave
sounds
his per-
cool.
Tommy gave his permission to do this. Tommy gets a slice of the revenues from it. Everything's copacetic. That's the way you do this. You don't just make something and put it out there and sell it and make money off of it when it's really relying on somebody else's name, image, likeness to sell that product. The way to do it, you go get that person's permission. They likely will demand some sort of royalty. You pay them a little cut. They're more than willing to do it. So for those that are listening that are looking to do some sort of product based on an athlete, the way you do it in this age with social media, it's not that hard to track somebody down and get their permission,
mm-hmm.
right? So you find them, you get their permission, and you go out and do a deal and put your product out there, and hopefully everybody makes money.
Yeah, well, for those of us who don't like to pay that extra cut, I mean, how far can you go? I would imagine if I'm making a T-shirt just for myself and I want to put Tommy Kramer on it, that's not a problem. I'm not selling it. That's no issue. What if, you know, Joe Blow is a huge Teddy Bridgewater fan and mm-hmm. he just wants to make a website, you know, put a bunch of Teddy Bridgewater highlights from YouTube or, you know, a couple photos up on the website. You know, can you do something like that? Can you, I mean, well, yeah, you could sell ads and get revenue off
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that gets another issue because if you're using somebody else's copyrighted video, then you know, you've got another problem there. Creating a website for somebody the problem with the social media and the websites is if you start to imply, it arguably could violate their rights because to the extent that you're suggesting that it may be officially endorsed by that athlete, that could be problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I've seen that before with the Facebook fan pages and things like that.
Oh, there's a million
that,
for every that, celebrity out there.
Yeah, that almost that look like they're official, but they aren't. So yes, that could be problematic. And the other thing that to talk about too, Dave, is it's, you know, we talk about a lot here about artists and athletes and celebrities in protecting these rights, but you and I may have, you know, the same claims against folks. It deals with if we have something that's identifiable about us. So in your case, when you're with your voice, when you're on the radio,
yes, yes,
as much as you are, let's say that someone came to you and wanted to have you do a sales pitch for a particular product, and you said, "I'm not interested. I don't endorse that product. No, thank you." And someone goes out and finds a Dave Harrigan sound-alike.
A lot of them out there.
Yeah.
It's an in-demand thing.
I know. If your voice is what's identifiable, it's part of your brand because of being on the radio. If someone's out there trying to use a Dave Harrigan sound-alike to imply that Dave Harrigan is endorsing this product, you may have claims against them for exploiting your intellectual property in your voice. Again, image, likeness, you know, just no different. An athlete with a, you know, with a jersey number or, you know, an image or, you know, the same thing with the radio guys with voices. So it's not just about celebrities. It's largely about celebrities. They usually are the most high profile when it comes to these things because they're more likely to have someone take and use their image without their permission. But you and I may have rights that we can enforce through the same claims, the same theories that Prince was heirs would like to have, or that Carl Eller or anybody else, any other athlete or entertainer out there would be using as well.
Well, I mean, it seems straightforward. So where do we go from here then? With the Prince Act stalled this session, good chance that'll be passed next session, do we think, so that it'll protect the heirs to Prince and whoever else may pass away? Or is it something that we're kind of iffy,
like
50-50
I said,
on?
I would not be surprised if this is reintroduced in a new... I mean, you've got the House and the Senate both up for re-election this year, so you could have some shifts amongst who controls what, and perhaps you may see this bill being brought back early on in the session in 2017, which is really a full session. You know, an election year session is usually about a bonding bill, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of things that people tried to get through this year. You know, I know that we once again lost we still can't buy alcohol on Sundays. So
that's a sore subject among some. I know.
I'm glad that the legislature is protecting us from ourselves. but you know, some of these things in an election year face long odds. It faced long odds from the beginning. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes up again next session, and after a few committee hearings, ends up on the floor attached to a bill and passed. So part of what some of the hesitation, I think, in passing it may have been the timing of it. We'll see what happens in another session.
All right. Well, that'll do it for me, Jeff. This has been Case in Point, Episode 3. Thanks for doing it again.
Thanks again. Good discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. It was. And make sure you can follow us. I shouldn't say follow. You can subscribe to the show. You can follow it on 1500ESPN.com. You can also, of course, subscribe SoundCloud and iTunes if you haven't done so already. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll do another one pretty soon, Jeff. Thanks.
Sounds good.